His Grace Shamik Rishi Prabhu on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.4.30. Prabhuji, are you available on the call?
Yes, yes, I'm on available.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for giving your association.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. About this verse, is it number 30 or 31? I was
30,
told that yes.
30, 30.
Okay. Oh, 30.
No, Prabhuji, it's 31. Yesterday, Prabhuji took two verses, 29 and 30, but by mistake, we put on the group like it's 30, but actually it's...
Sorry, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Now, Prabhuji, it's over to you.
Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees. Vancha kalpaturubhyesya kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshtarine sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll be taking text number 30 and maybe 31, 32. So this is about Sati quits her body. Text number 30. So Yam Dumarsha Hradayo Brahma Drukcha Loke Pakirtim Mahatim Avapsasiti Yadanga Jam Swam पुरुषाद्विदुद्यताम् न प्रत्यशेधन मृतये पराधतः. दक्ष, who is so hard-hearted that he is unworthy to be a Brahman, will gain extensive ill fame because of his offences to his daughter, because of not having prevented her death, and because of his great envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Daksha is described here as most hard-hearted and therefore unqualified to be a Brahman. Brahma Druk is described by some commentators to mean Brahma Bandhu or friend of the Brahmanas, a person who is born in a Brahman family but has no Brahminical qualifications is called a Brahma Bandhu. Brahmanas are generally very soft-hearted and forbearing because they have the power to control the senses and the mind. Daksha, however, was not forbearing. For the simple reason that his son-in-law, Lord Shiva, did not stand up to show him the formality of respect, he became so angry and hard-hearted that he tolerated even the death of his dearest daughter. Sati tried her best to mitigate the misunderstanding between the son-in-law and the father-in-law by coming to her father's house, even without an invitation, and at that time Daksha should have received her, forgetting all past misunderstandings. But he was so hard-hearted that he was unworthy to be called an Aryan or Brahmana. Thus, his ill fame still continues. Daksha means expert, and he was given his name because of his ability to beget many hundreds and thousands of children. Persons who are too sexually inclined and materialistic become so hard-hearted because of a slight loss of prestige that they can tolerate even the death of their children. Om Agyanti Mirandashya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Istapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ravaratan Vitantam Sadivan Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurata Shenama. Vanchakalpaturubhyesya kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Hare Krishna. So this verse is, through the history, it gives us so many instruction how one should behave, what is brahmana, what is a brahma bandhu, and so forth. It gives many instruction to us. If there is somebody is angry, what to do, how to control the anger, how to show the brahmanical qualities, and grahasth and grahamedi, like brahman and brahma bandhu. So these things are given, and how the materialistic persons, they behave, what they do for their name, fame, earning. They may kill anybody, and even to their own kinsmen, and does not feel anything. So so there are this pravatti marg and nivratti marg. There are two paths, and we see that in the same person this could be, it could be there, but both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendently situated, like Lord Shiva does not have to follow all the rules of etiquette that he should have, standing up to respect his father-in-law. It's not necessary for that. They are beyond rules and regulation. So Sati thought that her body is the source of embarrassment because it came from her father. That's why she is called Dakshayani. Lord Shiva used to call her as Dakshayani. But because he had offended Lord Shiva, her dear husband, so she condemned herself in this connection, and she killed herself. So she gave her body by Sat Chakra Yoga, and she raised her life air from the navel, heart, throat, and center of her eyebrows. So she meditating on the fire, and then this fiery air, the body has all the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So meditated on that fiery element, and that way she burned her own body. So this way the Sati quitted her body. So she was, at that time she was meditating on the lotus feet of her husband, who is Jagat Guru, and this way she completely cleansed up her all the contamination. That contamination is her identity as the daughter of Daksha. And so she was in the blazing fire by meditation on the fiery element. So there was a great cry arose from everywhere because of her giving her a body. Because everybody is asking, why had Sati, dear to Shiva, quit her body in such a manner? So because that was, so Daksha neglected, and that Daksha, who was a Prajapati, was so disrespectful to his own chaste and honorable daughter that she had to give up her body. And Daksha is, in this verse, talking about that Daksha is very, very hard-hearted. He is unworthy to be called a Brahman, because Brahman means they have samo dhamo tapas saucham shanti marjam. Their heart is, they are equal to everyone. They control their senses. They shama means they, and dhamma means controlling the mind, and shama also they control their senses, means outwardly and inwardly, the mind and the bodily senses. They do control that, but he had no control on that. Just with little incidents, he became so much angry and telling ill, and for 1,000 years he was putting that ill hard-heartedness to his son-in-law and his own daughter. And even then he started, just to be, because of the enviousness, he started another sacrifice for another 1,000 years and did not invite Lord Shiva. Initially, the first 1,000 years they did invite Lord Shiva, did come, but second one he performed himself just to put Lord Shiva's position down. So in the following verses he talked that how Shiva's followers, they attacked, and attendant, they prepared to kill Daksha because they were very angry and they wanted to take the revenge. And that Sati gave her body, and these followers came to protect Sati. And when they saw that Sati is dead now, so they wanted to kill many people as much as possible for them. But Bhrigu Muni, he swiftly seeing them, he approached, and then he offered oblations into the southern fire, and then he chanted some hymns from the Yajurveda to kill those who were destroying the sacrifice. And then Ribhus, they are a kind of demigods as a result of these oblations. Many thousands of powerful demigods, Ribhus, they manifested and they had achieved their strength from the Soma or moon. And so this way, the Shiva's followers, they all fled away by the attacks of the Ribhus. They went in all different directions because of the Brahmana Tejas. So we will talk about how these Brahmana Tejas are and who is Bhrigu Muni. So we will discuss, we have been talking about this Bhrigu and who this Bhrigu Muni is. We will discuss about that. So Brahma Tejas by Bhrigu Muni, who was a Brahman, and so many these Ribhus they manifested from him. So you might have heard about Vasishtha Muni, and there was Vishwamitra also. So Vasishtha Muni had a Kamdhenu, and Vishwamitra was a king in the beginning. He was a Kshatriya, and then he came and saw the Kamdhenu is feeding to so many of his soldiers and thousands of soldiers and all the opulences, all the palaces, all kinds of food for themselves and for their horses and elephants and everyone there. He fed very nicely by the mercy of this Kamdhenu, and she would give every kind of thing. Then Vishwamitra became envious and he wanted that he is the king and he should have the best thing. He never saw like a cow giving so much. And so he first he asked, Sister Muni said that I perform sacrifices and I need this cow for my sacrifices, for my yajnas and for my maintenance. I cannot give it to you. But then he forced and he was taking. Then the cow produced so many soldiers and militaries. And so this way Vishwamitra was defeated. And then he thought that Kshatriya power is not really much. There must be some Brahma Shakti. So he wanted to become like Brahma Tejas. He wanted to get the power of the Brahmanas. And then he worshipped and performed many yajnas and sacrifices for a long time, so much austerities. And he pleased Gayatri Devi and different demigods. And he got the power that much, but his arrogance continued. And then one time, this Trishanku, the father of King Harishchandra. So Trishanku wanted to go to the heavenly planet without changing the body, without performing the regular, like Shatakratu. Indra is Shatakritu. Kratu means he performed one, Shata means 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. And so without that he wanted to go. So he went to Vasishtha Muni, he refused. Then he came to Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra said that, okay, I will send you there. And by his tap and Gayatri, meditation on Gayatri, he was sending him up. But then when Indra saw the bad smell from his body and so much sweating in this heavenly planet, there is no sweat, there is no human being could come in that body. So he pushed him down by his assistants. So he fell head down, legs up, but then again he was crying while he was falling down. So by his cry, Vishwamitra again performed some yajna and sacrifices to raise him up. So Trishanku Mansa is hanging down, but Indra would not let him come. Then he created another Swargalok where he could just rule. So that is, he was hanging for some time, but that is not the way of doing it. In that way, the Brahma Tejas is much more than any Kshatriya's power. And it is shown by their history that how Brahma Tejas could win. And about Bhrigu Muni, we will discuss that who was this Bhrigu Muni, how he got all this power. So we'll discuss about him. So Bhrigu was a sage. He is the son of Brahma, just like Daksha Prajapati and Lord Shiva. Both are children of Brahma, but there were two Bhrigus. So he was the founder of Bhrigu Vansha, like they are called Bhargavas. So he still, because many children they came from them, so Bhargava community is still there. So when we say that what is your Gotra, Gotra means from which Prajapati's connection that they have, and that makes them whether they are Brahmanas. This Bhrigu, although he is born in as a Brahman, but later on because of his so much anger and like Brahma Bandhu, and so that's why then he became like a Kshatriya later on. So his children were not Brahmanas. Bhrigu Vansha has been reputed for many of its members who were rishis of great sanctity and grandeur. So Narad was born from the Brahma's lap, sometimes says that he is from the mind. Daksha was from his angustha, and Vasishtha was born from his pran, and Bhrigu from his skin, and Kratu from his arms. So Bhrigu was, first time he was born from his skin of Lord Brahma. So Brahma could produce children from his own body, mind, intelligence in many, many ways. The first was Satrupa and Swambhu Manu. So Swambhu Manu, they are from right and left side of the body of Lord Brahma. And then since then, this male and female forms are there, but otherwise it was Brahma was producing from his own body. So Bhrigu was born from Brahma's skin, Tvak. So an Adi Parva also that we see in from Srimad Mahabharata, that he is also born from fire. So there are two Bhrigus. One Bhrigu, he was killed at this Sati's fire sacrifice that was happening at Daksha Prajapati's place. So he was killed by Lord Shiva's Ganas, that they killed Bhrigu. But later on Bhrigu was again born, he was again born from Brahma, and then Brahma's again from Brahma. But then Varun protected, he was falling down, so Varun protected Varun and Charshani. So Varuni Bhrigu, there are two Bhrigus. So, and this time he was married to Puloma, but first time he was married to Bhrigu to Khyati. So this way, and then this Bhrigu, there was Dhata, Vidhata, Kavi, so they were all born from him. And then many, many important rishis and kshatriyas were born from them. And the second time then Varuni Bhrigu and his wife Puloma, they produce different so many bhutas and rudras. Different rudras were also born from this Bhrigu family. 11 rudras, attendants of the rudra, Lord Shiva. And he had other wife also other than Puloma. And Chavandrishi was also came, Sukanya and Chavandrishi and Chanda. So there are many, many like these families who were born from Bhrigu Muni. But Bhrigu Muni, as it is described in this verse, that although this Daksha and Bhrigu Muni, so Daksha was an expert in producing children, but then they lose all the qualities. If somebody is so much inclined, because Daksha produced many daughters and many, many thousands of children, many hundreds of and thousands of children. So Prabhupada is giving in the purport that persons who are too sexually inclined and materialistic, so they become very hard-hearted because of a slight loss of prestige, that they can tolerate even the death of their children. So they want their opulence, their prestige, Allah, puja, pratistha, but they don't care about what is happening and what is the result. So we will see how this anger could cause more and more problems, how this anger and created all these things. So anger in Vedic scripture, because he was very angry, and anger is like drinking poison. According to the Bhagavad Gita, lust, anger, greed, these are the three gates to the hell. And anger happens because of the unfulfilled desires. Like Daksha's desire was that his son-in-law should respect him, and he should have all this opulence, and he should be in such a prestigious position. So his desire was not fulfilled, and that's what he became angry. So Bhagavatam reveals the psychodynamics of anger, and they are giving us so many different case studies that anger should be towards, like Hanumanji was angry, but he was for service to Lord Ram. So if any time if there is a this kaam, krodh, lo, moh, madha, matsari, they could be used for service of the Krishna. Krodh is also is born in Bhagavad Gita. It is just said that Krodh is born of the greed, lobha, and Nikriti, that is cunningness. So that is adharma. The episodes in Canto 4 can help us understand the detrimental effect that anger has on relationship with the Supreme Lord and His devotees. So Daksha expected Lada Shiva's son-in-law to respect him by standing up and welcoming him. So Daksha was not very satisfied with Lada Shiva because he considered him very poor and not properly dressed. So causes of anger are expectations, this judging on the externals that Shiva is inauspicious and he does not wear proper dress and he is a poor, and so that is also another cause of angry. See, we judge on the external and not seeing the internal qualities. If some sadhu comes and we may just throw him away, get out. But if some another person who may be very demonic, if he comes with well-dressed, he is respected. So that is the effect of Kali Yuga, not recognizing what is good and what is bad and what are the inner qualities that Krishna likes it. And because he was envious also and he was materially puffed because of his position of the chief of all the Prajapatis. So he could not tolerate the Lord Shiva's high position, and because all the demigods were worshipping him and he is the topmost of the Vaishnavas, so he could not tolerate that. So this was his anger towards Lord Shiva, this is because of his envious nature. And the material field is so unsteady that even personalities like Nandishwar Daksha were infected by the atmosphere of anger. They forgot their position, cursing and counter-cursing one another. So because of this angry nature, the atmosphere gets polluted. So there is so much psychology, like Sati was, the psychological effect of this anger, that one becomes very, breathing very, very heavily. Like Dhruva was angry on all the, his brother was killed by different yakshas and Kuvera's servants. So he became. So he was also breathing very heavily, and Sati was breathing heavily. Another effect of this is biting on the lips. Like Lord Shiva became angry on when his wife was she sacrificed herself. So that is another effect. And Sati was seeing this with fiery glances that we read on the previous verses. So that is also the effect of psychological effect of becoming angry. And so mental impressions are there. When you hear that, when one becomes angry, then you remember what he told me in many, many even years ago. So like Lord Shiva, 1,000 years ago, Daksha was shouting at Lord Shiva. And so he remembered all this. See, the strong words is spoken against Lord Shiva. He remembered. So that is the mental impression, that even it happened so many, 20, 30 years ago, it comes to the mind when one is in anger mood. And anger is expressed through the different limbs, like tongue, hand, legs, like you start kicking. There are different ways that you could just talk so many things, and you shaking your hands, and then you become fighting spirit also. So with this anger, Daksha did not even accept Brahma as his father, ungrateful. And he was finding the fault that it is because of Brahma that I married my beautiful daughter Sati to Lord Shiva. So fault finding is there when there is a anger mood and rebellion. That because Sati was angry on her own father, and when Lord Shiva did not give her permission to go, then but she became rebellious. And then she did not follow Lord Shiva's advice. Her main aim was to give a lesson or talk to his father. So he welcomes her husband, who is the topmost Vaishnava, and not to keep this envious mentality. But nonetheless, she could not. She, even after going, his own father or her own father did not welcome her, did not show expression of happiness or. So like his mother did shed tears, and she was very happy, she embraced her, but Daksha was completely opposite, and he did not keep a place for Lord Shiva. So, and that's why she killed. So the consequences of anger is very detrimental for everyone. Everyone at Daksha sacrifices, including Lord Brahma, requested him not to be angry and leave their company. But in spite of all these requests, he left. Then Lord Shiva left, Lord Brahma left. Anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. So unless you control some way, unless you take shelter of higher spiritual nature, then it's difficult to control the anger. And it increases unlimitedly. And one who falls under the control of anger becomes a source of dread for all others. Because in anger mood, this Daksha's head was chopped out, Sati quitted her body, the Bhrigu was killed, and so many things that all the Lord Shiva's Ganas were also they had to live by these ribus which were produced from Bhrigu. His teeth were broken and Bhrigu also died in different scriptures, it says. So it creates a dread for everybody who faces this person who is in anger mood. And so also illusion becomes stronger. And this leads to forgetfulness of Krishna. If somebody is angry, then there is an illusion. Means we think that, just like in rope, we think that it is a snake. That's illusion. Illusion is a kind of like Maya, which is not right. We just think of something which is not the correct. Means forgetting one thing for another, that is illusion. And one becomes very, very hard-hearted, like Daksha did not prevent Sati's death. And hard-heartedly, Suruchi named Dhru to change his body. Means what Suruchi also we see, that when you read this Dhruva's history, it just says that Suruchi just told Dhruva, it was a just young 5-year-old boy, he said that you cannot sit on the lap of your father because you did not take birth from my womb. You first die and come in my womb, then only you will be able to sit. So she did not care. Because of this angry mood, she did not care why a little child has to die first. So one becomes very insensitive and tells harsh words. And the heart or mind is just like an earthen pot. Once broken, cannot be repaired by any means. So when you speak or when you show, it should be very, very carefully done so we don't hurt somebody. Because if this angry mood, it just goes on. You show anger, the front person who opposed, he also shows anger mood, and that way it goes on. And that's why this kama, krodh, lobh are the three doors. This lust, anger, and greediness, that are the three doors to hell. And one should prevent them, one should stop them, and that could be done by Krishna consciousness and understanding and living in between with the devotees. So you are protected, or you are from these reactions, and ultimately one falls down. So instead of becoming the most exalted, he was the father-in-law Daksha. Just because of this, he fell down, and he had to accept the goat's head. So Sati's character, that we can discuss about it, how Sati and how about the Daksha himself. That Sati's character is been shown in dealing with her husband and with her father Daksha. So although she was a very, very chaste and obedient wife, she became distraught by the ongoing hatred and there were bickering between her father and her husband. So means it was always that she was very, very beautifully, and the Daksha used to call him. She was the most like choicest daughter of out of 16 girls. She was the most liked by her father, but her father, once he became angry, he did not even care about her, the best of the daughter, the youngest one. Sati was well aware of dissension and differences between her father and her husband, and on being very passionate, the other being very renowned, she would often hanker after the material enjoyment of her father, and Shiva would have to tolerate this. So she felt bad that her husband is living in this way, but anyway, she loved her husband, and she is in such a high position anyway. She is before Parvati or before Durga, she was in charge of this material, this modes of material nature. mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. She tried to convince Shiva to come to Daksha's sacrifice, but he did not agree despite her many arguments. So then she disobeyed the order, but that was the reason was to bring back the position of Lord Shiva. Simply hearing her name, Dakshayani should become ashamed of her connection with her father. She was anxious about disobeying her husband's order not to go to Daksha's sacrifice. Thus, she moved in and out of the room indecisively. Her best quality was that she had all qualities and faithfully served her husband. As a chaste wife, she established the supremacy of her husband right in front of Daksha. She was very, very bold, and her father was not at all in agreement. She selected herself, not that it was just Brahma, but she selected herself because she is eternally the consort of Lord Shiva. Not that it is that because Brahma said, but she did so much meditations and so much tapasya to obtain Lord Shiva, and later on also when she died, she did for thousands of years. Again, she was in meditation that she gets again her husband as Lord Shiva. She was fearless, and Shiva's followers such as ghosts accompanied her to sacrifice. Not that Lord Shiva sent them, but they automatically come because they were under her command. And in utter shame and anger towards her father, she gave up her own life right before his own eyes. So in this way, we see many characteristics and of Lord Shiva, Daksha, how this anger could affect, and who this Bhrigu Muni is that we discuss. I will take one more verse after this. Text number 31. Vadati evam jane satya drashtva sutyagam adbhutam daksham tat parshadahantum vadati sthannu dayudha. While people were talking among themselves about the wonderful voluntary death of Sati, the attendants who had come with her readied themselves to kill Daksha with their weapons. The attendants who came with Sati were meant to protect her from calamities. But since they were unable to protect their master's wife, they decided to die for her. And before dying, they wanted to kill Daksha. It is the duty of attendants to give protection to their master. And in the case of failure, it is their duty to die. So this is how a servant or master and the servant that they should behave has been described, that it is the duty of the servants to protect their master at all costs. So there is a relation between a master and the servants. Nowadays that is not seen. Many, many, even the servants, they kill their master to take the possession or position, whether it is a king and then his ministers, they kill the king and take their position. Just like in Maharaj Pratap Rudra's assistant wanted to take, he was his minister, but then he said, oh, he is dead, let me sit on his position. And in that way, many histories that shows that whether it is a boss, a factory malik, and his servants, they take care, or his directors, they take all the possession, or they somehow rather than protecting, but then that is the fall down of culture, because people do not have Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava culture, and we don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's why these results they came. So this chapter is not that big. I will take one next verse. So this Daksha, that his Sati's followers, they wanted to kill Daksha, even at their sacrificing their own life. So Teshama Ma patatam vegam nishamya bhagavan bhraguhu yagyad gnena yajusha dakshinagnau juhavah. They came forward forcibly. This is came forward means Sati's followers. Forward forcibly, but Bhrigu Muni saw the danger and offering oblations into southern side of the sacrificial fire, immediately uttered mantric hymns from the Yajurveda, by which the destroyers of the yagic performances could be killed immediately. So here is the example of powerful hymns in the Vedas, which when chanted could perform wonderful acts. In the present age of Kali, it is not possible to find expert mantra chanters. Therefore, all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas are forbidden in this age. The only sacrifice recommended in this age is chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, because in this age it is not possible to accumulate the needed funds for performing sacrifices, not to speak of finding expert brahmanas who can chant the mantras perfectly. So this is another example that how these mantras are so powerful, the mantra that is given. But the best mantra for this age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the Sankirtan. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedasa. People with good brain, good substance, good brain substance, chant the holy name. Because you don't have to be expert, you don't have to have so much opulence to perform the yagya, and so much riches that Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he performed the Ashwamedh yagya, he had to send his all four brothers in different directions to collect the wealth. Although he had so much wealth from Hastinapur, but nonetheless he had to collect more wealth to go. And Arjun went to the Naradana direction, where people used to perform sacrifice the kings prior to Yudhishthira Maharaj long, long ago. And they used to go, all the pots and this crockeries were of gold. And they used to use the gold plates and gold silver paraphernalia, gold paraphernalia, spoons and all this. And they used to throw them. It was just like disposable paper plates. So that was the opulence of our past in India. And India was so glorious, it was called as Sone Ki Chidiya, that it is golden bird. And people used to come and to get this opulence, not only spices and different grains, but also there was so much gold in India, so much fine, like art, fine cloth, fine sari could be put into a match box. So there were so much opulences, and naturally people, because if you become a devotee, then all the opulences you automatically get. It comes because Krishna owns everything, and if he wants to provide to his devotees, they get it. But if you become, so akamava sarva kamava moksha kamudardi tivirena bhakti yogena yajet purusha param, that if you are full of desire or no desire, one should not be attached to fulfill their desire of the material nature, but everything, because it belongs to Krishna, should be used for Krishna. In one of the verse, that Krishna is in the heart of his devotee, but I am not in them. So what does it mean? Just like the Shakti and Shaktiman. So Shaktiman is all the energy. So in his energy, the Shaktiman is not there. It is his power, like a king sits in his palace, in place, and then through his power everything is working. A factory owner who may own hundreds of factories, he does not have to go to the each and every factory. But because of his power, because of his wealth, he commands all this. Sometimes he visits the factory, and then the director, he welcomes him and gives him bouquet and nice place and sit. But all the attendants are who are his servants of the factory, they think that he might be an important person. But our boss are whole soul. So sometimes people think that when Lord became Lord Krishna and Vishnu, that Vishnu means one who one who is all-pervading, just like the directors, they are there in the company all the time. And Narayan, that is who lies down on the ayan. Ayan means one who lies down in the ocean of, ocean of water. So that way there is a different meaning of this Narayan. And so he, the supreme personality of Godhead, he is the supreme creator. So Vishnu, people, they think that Vishnu is the personality of Godhead and Krishna comes through him, but that is not the right way, right understanding. He is the supreme enjoyer, he is the supreme creator, he is the supreme controller, everything is supreme. And but sometimes people misinterpret without knowing the meaning of the Vedic injunctions. So we should, our duty is to worship Krishna rather than all this Vedic sacrifices that they were performing, but is still angry and is still envious. So what we are getting? But a devotee has all the good qualities. Yashasti Bhakti, Bhagavata Kinchina, Sarver Guner Tatra Samasate Sura. All the qualities of demigod, they automatically get it. But one who has many material qualities, he is on the mental platform. So he is not properly situated. So that way we learn so many things from this descriptions of Sati and Lada Shiva and how this yagya's performance, and then we will see in this fourth canto many other histories of Dhruva and how the Dhruva Maharaj and how he returns home, and Swayambhu Manu, King Vena, that how he was demonic. So we have both sides, what happens to the demonic kings and what happens to a devotee of the Lord. And that we become more interested in devotional service. And also this, because these are empowered, or these are the words of coming from Krishna, or Krishna Leela, or devotees of Krishna, or Vedavyas has written this, who is an incarnation, a literary incarnation of Godhead. So those words in self are very potent. So reading, touching, describing, talking, hearing, at least twice a day, this literature should be heard in the morning, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the evening, Bhagavad Gita. And then all day one can chant and think of Krishna's service. Even amidst the mail, if we are still working in the material world, but in every activity, the Krishna should be put in the front. He should be the center of our activity. Then whole process becomes Krishna conscious. So thank you so much. I was thinking of finishing the whole chapter and giving you the whole summary, but I did not know that I have to go from verse number 30. But thank you for giving me this opportunity for Vaishnava Association and Bhagavatam Association. Hare Krishna. You can unmute, and if there is any comments, questions, discussions, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna, Swami Rishi Prabhu, thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
Always wonderful to hear from you. We miss you in the Sadhu Sangha. We looked for you, but we could not meet you. But maybe some other time.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Vijayaki Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very wonderful class as always. Prabhuji, see, Sati acquits her body, and like sometimes people in this material world, they commit suicide. You know, for some reason they get into some problem and they think that there is no more solution than committing suicide. So that's why they commit suicide. So for committing suicide, we say like this body has given by Krishna, so we have to use this body in the service of Krishna. So we don't have any right to destroy our own body. So what is the lesson we are getting from this? Sati's committing quitting her body in the sacrificial fire.
That's a good question. See, Sati, that was because of Vaishnava Aparad that he was committing. But people who are in grief materially and they quit their body or they kill themselves, that is two different things. One is spiritual, one is completely material. So if they kill themselves, then all the karmas, there is so much severe punishment. We have no right on our body. Body is meant, as you said very rightly, is meant to serve Krishna. So we want to just, for our own prestige, for our own shortcomings, like somebody does not pass examination, does not get good girl or husband for themselves, they kill themselves, or sometimes they don't get a position, they don't get wealth, or and farmers, so many farmers, when there is no rainfall, because of our sinful activity in the past, they don't get crops or their seeds, they get all burned. Say like there was some rain in some parts of India, they put all the seeds in the field, but then it doesn't grow because long time nothing comes. They cannot buy again, and they are get into so much debts that they kill themselves. Every newspaper that when I am in India, and if I see them, that so many farmers, they kill themselves. But that is not the right way. We have to tolerate all these ups and down hills of the material nature. The satis quitting her body is completely different. That was, according to the Vaishnava ticket, either you get out, don't hear the Vaishnava aparadh. If you hear it, then you try to oppose or cut his tongue, and means by argument, or thirdly, that you kill yourself. So she did according to the Shastric injunctions. And so that is for a Vaishnava. But for materialistic people to kill themselves is very, very dangerous. They take in the body of a ghost, and they remain without any body. And they enter somebody who is of a weak personality, who is not a devotee, and then they act and disturb him also. So they earn more like impiety or more sinful activities. And that could only like, if you heard about Bhagavat Mahatmya, that Dhandukari, he became a ghost. He was killed by his own wives and others who could not pay. So by burning sticks, this Dhandukari was killed, and then his brother, compassionately Gokarna, he gave him Bhagavatam. So by this way, like when we read Bhagavatam, then if there are any ghostly bodies around, they also get purified. So one should be reading, one should be chanting, and that are well auspicious, but taking like your own life is very, very heinous. One should never even think of that way. Because according to our past karma, we enjoy or suffer. So we should think that, yes, it is, I am suffering because of my past karma. Let me perform good karma and burn all these karmas by process of devotional service, by chanting the holy name. Karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajam, by all the seeds of our previous activity or previous life gets burned away or they are fried. And when they cannot grow back again. So that is your, and then you, if you are a devotee, you would not perform. So this is for the previous karma, Sanchit karma. And then your devotee would never do anything nonsense in them. So they don't create any new karmas or accumulate new karmas. And also their prarabdha, or which they are suffering or now, they tolerate, they get, and Krishna makes in such a way that they don't feel any pain. So sati's quitting body is completely different than the people who kill themselves. Has no relation. They cannot give the sati quit her body, so I also do it. And that is for Krishna or her own dear husband, who is the topmost of Vaishnava, and he was being blasphemed. So one should not hear about, because this Vaishnava aparadh is like a mad elephant offense. One not only approves, even if somebody is in the highest position, but by Vaishnava aparadh, their all the bhakti lata is completely pulled and it dries out. Pap is different, that if somebody is doing sinful activity, that sins can be burned by chanting the holy name. There is no sin, even once, that if even in Namabhasi stage, your all the sins are destroyed. But aparadh is not destroyed. For aparadh, you have to go to the person to whom you have created your aparadh, or to whom you offended, and then you beg pardon and pay respects to them. Even if the person does not mind, still the dust of their feet, Vaishnava's feet, cannot tolerate the offense against that. So that so everything in the body of a Vaishnava or Krishna is all spiritual, and that dust takes revenge and he falls down. Like I gave before, history of Tukaram, that Tukaram did not mind, but his neighbor, Tukaram was a Vaishnava, he was giving kathas, and one of the Brahmanas who was in his neighborhood, he also had disciples. So two of his disciples went to hear katha from Tukaram, who is from this Maharashtra. So he became very, very angry, very envious. How dare that he let my disciples come and hear his katha, and how he is getting so popular. So he took a stick with so much thorns in that, like a thorny stick, And then when Tukaram came at night time after the katha, he was beating him so badly by hiding in the dark, and then he beat him and he became unconscious. So Tukaram, after in the morning when his pain subsided, he went home. He could not sleep, thinking of his, there must be, he did not mind his being beaten. He said, I must have some bad things. I must have done some aparat to this Brahmana. So he went early in the morning and paid him respect that you please forgive me, whatever I have done, I do not know, please let me know if I have done something that I would not repeat it. So this Brahmana also melted, and then they both embraced each other and shed tears. And that way offenses of, so there was no offense on part of Tukaram, but offense of this Brahmana was mitigated by falling at the lotus feet of Tukaram. So one should like, so this Vaishnava aparadha is very, very dangerous. Many people who chant for many, many years or read Bhagavatam, but if they have a bad association or if they blaspheme a Vaishnava, then that's the end of their devotional life. Then unless, even Krishna does not forgive them. Even if you go to Krishna Lok, like Durvasa Muni went to Vishnu, and because he had power to go to Vishnu Lok at the bank of the Shirsagar, and Vishnu refused them that that devotees are in my heart and I am in the heart of devotee. I am not asvatantra eva dvija. A dvija, a Brahman, I am not independent. You please go to Ambarish Maharaj and beg pardon. And that's how when he went, and Ambarish Maharaj did not mind because Sudarshan Chakra was behind and he was burning like anything. So anyway, Sati is quitting body is because of the Vaishnava aparad that Daksha was creating, and she could not stop the two of the first things. So either cut the tongue of Daksha or to run away from there. So she thought that third thing, as per Vaishnava etiquette, is to kill themselves, and that she did. So I wanted to tell the difference between a Sati is quitting her body and people were killing themselves.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, very nice explanation. Prabhupada also says that if somebody commits suicide because of some calamity or distress in the life, and that is because of the karma, then if he tries to get out of it by committing suicide, he doesn't escape because he has to take birth again to suffer the reactions of those karmas.
So many times more, not just that, but many times more, because the body does not belong to us. Body belongs to Krishna. It's meant right. For Krishna's service, not just killing. It's not my body.
Right.
So Sanatana Goswami wanted to kill himself because he had so much pus coming out from his body. And then Jagdananda told him that, why don't you Rathyatra? You just, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to embrace him, and he could not see that his pus and blood is tainting the body, the transcendental body of Lord Chaitanya. But then he, also another time, some devotee had a sword on his hand that I will kill myself in the morning. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and then he said that, give me this sword. What right you have on your body? You have surrendered to me. So you serve with your body. In this way, killing, it's not, it happens so much. Students and farmers and businessmen, and when they lose their when they gamble and they lose money, and then they want to kill themselves. So anyway, that's a very, very big topic. But you are rightly, you said that that it is a very, very great sin. Means you earn a more sin than normally it is already there. Thank you, Dhammaradhanan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving such a wonderful class. Actually, what Shama Gauri Mataji asked, I have one question on this. So, as you mentioned that this suicidal habits is there in the students as well. So, I think, is there any way that we can like make kids aware that tolerance is good rather than surrendering yourself to death, or making you so weak that you are like forced to suicide. Because nowadays it's too much pressure. Whether it is like society or school or like parents, it's too much pressure on kids. So there should be something so that they could learn that how to tolerate that pressure and how to live with it, rather than like surrendering themselves to their weakness and like forced to be suicided. So is there any way that we can inspire them and we can like make them tolerant instead of like letting them be themselves very weak and all?
No, you have asked a very timely question, because this is so much the students or business people or farmers or they are in so much pressure. But if they understand who we are, what is our relation with Krishna, hani lav jivan maran yash apyash prabhu hath, it is not in our hand. If they know Krishna consciousness, all the theory, who we are, who is Krishna, what is our relation, why we are here, what is the purpose. Because people becoming atheistic and they don't read scriptures and just don't take shelter of a higher authority or higher devotee, then these things are going to happen. Because they are in so much like students, if they don't pass, they think that now I'm doomed, I cannot get a big position, I cannot get married to such and such, I cannot earn. But it's all these things, they come materially according to our previous destiny. And that is already there, it's already sanctioned. And they want to get more, they cannot get more. It's not possible. So rather than correcting their karma and taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotees, just all this activity are completely nonsense. They are the sign of atheism. Not knowing Krishna, not knowing what is their duty, why they are here, what is the purpose of this material creation. They have no knowledge of whatsoever. So more and more Krishna consciousness should be spread. Chanting of the holy name should be there, and reading Bhagavatam morning, evening, and devotee association who will protect them from these thoughts. Many people, students, are when they were at the verge of killing themselves, but then they went to hear these discourses, then they were protected. So they should put in confidence their problems to a senior Vaishnava and discuss with them, rather than taking this resort. So this should be propagated very thoroughly to every town, village, everywhere. Then people will understand the karma, their reactions, what happens. They have no idea of karma that they have. They were in the previous lives, and they have many more lives to come. Just killing is not the end of their suffering. It will come many, many folds more strongly than what they are in situation at now. So they have to tolerate those, what happens in the life. But that they will be able to tolerate if they understand what is good for them and what is bad for them. Okay, so if they understand all these interactions of their karma, they will know that what is they are getting is that is the quota. Everyone has a quota. Ishavashya vidam sarvam yat kena jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena munjitha ma grada kasya sudadhanam. So our quota, we should only come to get, and that quota is also given by Krishna for his service. So we don't know that everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavashyam idam saram, that everything belongs to Krishna, even our own bodies, our own mind, our own intelligence. So
Prabhuji, that means that we should be more focused on college preaching, school preaching, rather than home programs and all.
That is also okay, but everywhere there is a problem. If you preach even in home program, naturally they have their own children, they talk to other people. So wherever you could preach, wherever you have a chance, yare dakhyo tare kaho Krishna upadesh, amara agya hai guru tare idesh. You become guru for them and teach them, whomever you meet, at your workplace, if you're train station, if you are in a plane, if you are traveling, you just preach everywhere that. Just give your introduction and start talking. What is the goal of life? If they eat meat, then have you think that can you create this animal or fish or If we can't create, what right we have to kill himself? He has the same feeling as we have. So at least talk in a very sweet way, but any preaching, yes, college preaching is important, but society is not even on these college students. It happens everywhere, every walk of life. Businessmen, farmers, servants, if they don't get a position, why? So many ways people are killing themselves. People killing in the womb of their children just for sense gratification. So that is also the big wars are there because of either like meat eating, like McDonald's places. So it is created in those stores where meat is served or where there is a killing or the mother who want to kill their own children. Then there should be restriction. So people don't know about chastity, how to restrict. So in many, many ways, this whole material world is going towards very, very fast speed, towards a hell or towards destruction, own destruction, because the government does not know, the leaders don't know. Krishna, devotees should take that leadership and teach to the public as many as we can save. Like Srila Prabhupada has saved lives of so many millions of people. Although they may not have taken initiation, does not matter, but if they know about karma, about our duties, about Krishna, about themselves, our relationship, gradually they will be elevated. So many people have become vegetarians because of that. Although vegetarian itself is not that important, but still their thinking would be much better than somebody who is a meat eater. Because they are taking to, and then offering food and taking prasad, that's much more better. But if they cannot offer, still if they know, at least there is not much sins are created.
So, Prabhuji,
yes.
So, Prabhuji, whenever we happen to see there is something wrong, and should we speak or should we wait that if that person wants, that person needs our advice, or what to do?
Uh-huh.
It's like once I heard that. Once I heard that someone did abortion, so I just kept quiet. But I felt so bad. I wanted to say something, but I could not because I was just feeling that if unwelcomingly, if I would say something, so that person would be offended or would start keeping distance from me. It's like that. So what should we do if we see something wrong? Should we give advice or should we wait that if someone wants our advice?
Yeah, see, you have to be tactful. That soul should be protected, but you have to be tactful if they take a revenge or become angry or give away their relation with you. So if you have a good relation, if they know, and you could say that this, look what you are trying to do, is according to the scripture, this is the effect. And you have to, that soul who should have come here, now cannot come, he's gone now, and there is so much reaction to that. So why to create this situation? It may be unwanted children, but now you have given a chance to let him come, and it is now your duty to let him come in the world. And people think that they are the protector of their children, but it is Krishna who is the protector. He maintains them. Just like this Bharat Maharaj became attached to the deer, he could have let it go after initially protecting him, but then later on his own fate, rather than attaching to them, then he had to take the body of a deer. So it is a lesson that everybody comes with their own fate or own destiny, and they go accordingly. And we think that we are, if I give much, yes, you do protect them in the initial stages, but then they have their own karma, a bag of karma they bring with them, and they have to undergo suffering or enjoyment. You cannot protect even with the best to your own children if Krishna does not want that. So why not to give in the hands of Krishna, depend on him, pray to him that please protect this child, or whatever he wants to do, whatever is best for him, you do it, and he knows what is best. He's sitting as Paramatma in our heart. So yes, your question is whether you should advise. If you have, if they will listen in that case, then you should definitely advise. And that becomes your duty. If you are in the situation and if you can tell them and if they could, if they will listen to you, or even if they don't listen, at least you have done your duty. Then it's up to Paramatma and that person. And if they commit this way, they have to suffer the resultant reaction of killing killing a person. Vaishnava does not kill even an ant, or even they just see the Paramatma there also. So we have to learn the art of preaching, art of telling the people sit around, so they take the advice. If they cannot take the advice, then what can be done? You try your best, then it's up to the person. In Shastra it says that you should not instruct person who does not want to take it. But Vaishnavas are very compassionate and they want to give their advice. Then if it may happen that they may not be your friends anymore. But still it is more higher to save or protect that unborn child.
Yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanu
Pranam.
Very wonderful class. I know you are a physician, and I want to ask you this question. So, you know, two sides, you know, from the material point of view and the spiritual point of view, I know it's the most abominable act. And we all know this from the scriptures. Srila Prabhupada said this. But I believe that suicide is like, you know, it is because of this depression, which we know that it is because of, you know, the serotonin imbalance, that this person has, you know, has succumbed to this end stage of depression. Like, it is beyond his control. Like, a normal person does not want to take his life. But this person is so incapacitated by the disease, by the disorder, by the imbalance, I believe, that is why he is doing this. So let's say like cancer, you know, you die from cancer. So this is, I believe, you know, like suicide is like the end result of this severe disease that this person has. So then from the spiritual point of view, I mean, it was not in his control. And he did this. So then, why should he suffer the spiritual consequence of becoming a ghost? You know, it was not in his control. If he was in his right mindset, he would not have done this. A normal person wants to live. He will go through chemotherapy, radiation, everything to live. Whatever little, you know, the doctor will, you know, allow. Okay, you know, okay, take this. He will go through all that to live little more. But this person is so incapacitated, he cannot think, and so he is taking his life. So how then, you know, he would have to suffer? Because, I don't know, I'm just asking you, then why should he suffer to become a ghost? It was not his fault. He was so incapacitated. It was his disease. It was his mental condition that caused it.
What are your thoughts? Okay, no, I understand what you are asking, and sometimes people say mercy killing, or they should be given that people have the right to give some drugs so they could just sleep and forget their pain, sleep forever. So those things are questions are being put, but it is our own ignorance, because we turned our face away from Krishna, we turned our back, so this is just one problem after another. It is adding up our problems in the material life. So if we see, means we have to, if there is suffering, then mind should not be, if people become a devotee, mind would not be focused that much on, yes, pain is there, suffering is there. Prabhupada was also so much emaciated. He had problems with his kidney disease and 3-4 times of heart attacks and could not eat for many, many days. But his mind was focused on Krishna. If people could look that taking our own life, which is not ours, is a very, very dangerous, whether it is an old age, whether it is because of cancer or some natural death is something different, but this life is not meant for us. It is meant for Krishna. Body may be completely, we could not do anything for Krishna, but at least think in the mind. Now you may say that it is such an end stage, he is just suffering from so much pain, he cannot think of Krishna, then at least he can see the pictures, he can hear the words, he could take some charanamrit, he could take tulsi, but just dying like this, by killing himself in one way or another, or by taking poison, that is not the answer, because we are in a way for a time immemorial, we are away from Krishna, and that's why this suffering, these thoughts, this killing thing comes, but killing is not an answer to this. Like somebody say, like we kill animals, or like in America, they kill all these deers, and that deer, so much population, that they will suffer from cold, and then they will die. So the suffering that they don't get any even grass or something to eat. So better that it is a mercy killing. But is that right? Whether they are hungry or not hungry, that is according to their karma. But we cannot kill because we act as God. And Ishwara Bhav is in everyone. That I am the controller, I am the master. But we are none of those. So this body, if you know that it belongs to Krishna for his service, even thinking, remembering, feeling for him, even looking, so that is something you could still do, but not to kill yourself, even if you are suffering. Maybe you may die in 2 days or 5 days. So, but let it remain in that way rather than killing yourself. Those questions about somebody is unconscious for many months and his heart is not pumping, there is a machine, heart, lung machine is there, their brain is already dead, that is something different situation. He is already dead. Then taking him out of those artificial things is all right. In my opinion, I'm just telling. But with the suffering from pain, cancer, end stage disease, and killing themselves is not proper. It is not a Vedic advice. Like Mrugrari was killing animals half dead and making them suffer. So Narad Rishi told that kill them fully if you want to kill. You kill them fully and at least they won't be suffering. Then he told him that because how they are suffering, you will suffer in your next life. For as many hairs on the cow or animals, you will suffer in your next life. Then he became very aware. So if we follow our scripture, follow the words of wisdom from our scriptures and read them, then we will understand. Yes, suffering is there, I understand. And one has to tolerate. And tolerate those and try to even in the end stage, like people become devotees at the end, or even when they are in hell, they become devotees. Like if you see Maharaj Yayati at the later stages of life, it had a hell with this enjoyment that I am having. I took the youth of my son, Puru, and now I am enjoying, what is this? Because enjoyment never ends. There is no happiness. You will again want more and more and more. So what is the real happiness? Is the happiness of the soul. So unless we come to that level, this suffering of the body is not that one should take their life. If it is suffer, so we should, Kunti Devi is asking, let the suffering or calamities come more and more. So at least I could remember you. Dukh mein sumiran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. We feel complacence, it's very nice. I'm enjoying. My death is good. And then later on kill. That's not the right way of thinking. So we should take the advice from scriptures, not our own mind or our this. What you are saying that he has the right to take his life is not right.
No, Prabhu.
Body is not our possession, so we have to know through the eye of the scripture. Anything. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru should be, we should take lessons from them.
No. I'm sorry, Prabhu, if I came across that way. My question is really, you know, for depression, you know, like if people are depressed, it's a chemical imbalance, you know, serotonin imbalance, why they are depressed. that, you know, we know from, you know, whatever little research we have done on depression. So what I am saying is, especially for patients who are depressed, they are so depressed and so incapacitated, and that's why they take their life. You know, it's not that they know what they are doing. You know, they like Kate Spade, for example. She was mentally ill. She was very depressed, and hence she took her life. We all want to live, but this person is so incapacitated because of his illness, and that's why this person is taking his life. So what I was trying to say was, let's say if somebody has cancer, you know, you succumb to cancer and you end up dying. So like that, you succumb to depression and you end up doing suicide. So it's not in the person's control, I believe, you know, and the person is so depressed that he takes his life. So then if he is succumbing to a disease, how is it that then he would have to suffer the spiritual consequence of becoming a coach if it was not in control to have the serotonin balance in the first place?
So thank you for correcting me or explaining it more clearly, that it is chemical imbalance in the brain or whatever in the body, that imbalance is causing him to take his life. So why he should suffer? So that's your question. But this, how this chemical imbalance came? Is it that you are taking so many drugs before, or normally a person who lives according to the Vedic wisdom or according to Vedic injunctions, this imbalance would not happen? We have created our own imbalance in life, whether it is from cancer and so many cancer drugs. And so one should try, like I will give the example, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He used to live in Pennsylvania, and he had a end stage cancer, and I know another person who is in Vrindavan. So now what he has done, that Radhanath Maharaj stayed with him for 2-3 months together at Gitanagari. I used to go there time to time, and he knew that. But does it mean that he should just kill himself, that he is going to die and he is having so much pain? He was surrounded by the devotees. It is our misunderstanding of everything about life, chemical imbalance, and this madness happened because of the chemical imbalance, and we have created our own imbalance in life. And now at the end we think that there would be something magic would happen. So I understand what you are saying, that he is forced to die. He does not have his own control and he takes his own life. Why that should be? But even unconsciously you do something, you are responsible. It's not that you have done just because it is not in your capacity. But this is the consequence of whole life, that he was abnormal. And that's why at the end he has this problem, that he cannot control himself, he has an imbalance. But Krishna has a perfect balance in the society. If he eat right, if he do activity right, if he whatever in by all right means in Krishna, right means in Krishna conscious means, then these things would not happen. So this is the effect of all. Now whether, yes, he has also, it is in his karma that he has to suffer the reaction of killing himself by chemical imbalance. But that is also another suffering. Whether you give or not, but killing oneself in whichever way, this is the effect of your all sinful activity, whole life, that is the end result of that you can't hear. People become unconscious. Now they cannot hear, they cannot chant Krishna, you cannot see the Venditi's picture, you cannot eat prasad. It's a whole society is getting into such a turmoil. If we live Vedic culture, Vedic society, then these things are bound to happen. And we have to tolerate, but reactions are there. Whether you in an unconscious way you kill, or you kill in a conscious way, or by chemical imbalance, or without chemical imbalance. Ultimately the result is the same, that you do suffer. Whatever you do, whether knowing, even unknowingly, if a child puts his hand in the fire, does not he get burned? Unknowingly, yes. Like if you take poison, unknowingly, so you make Krishnaize everything. Meera took poison whole, and Prahlad Maharaj also took a whole piala poison because they were forced. But Krishna corrected them anyway. That is something different. But yes, you could ask more on this line. That is a good topic. And I could tell you, according to my understanding, it's a very, very vast, very sensitive topics. But people don't know that we are into this wheel that we have been being crushed. And just like in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you see that Krishna is Virat or Vishwarup. In his teeth and his flames are coming from his so many mouths, and everybody is dashing towards death. He said that all the Kauravas and except 5 Pandavas, everybody was being crushed underneath his teeth, and they were burned, and they were running and dashing in his mouth. This is because of our own karma. We can't blame anybody. Okay, so you were saying something. So please go ahead.
No, Prabhu, I was not saying anything. I was just agreeing with what you were saying.
Okay. No, that end result of chemical imbalance is because in his previous part of the life when he was young, then so many sinful activity from past and present, they accumulate together.
Okay.
But result is there. Result of killing oneself, whether unconsciously or consciously, would be there.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji and Mataji. Very, very nicely explained, and very, very nice questions asked by Mataji and also by the Mataji earlier about preaching to college kids rather than going and doing house programs. And Prabhuji, you have explained it very, very thoroughly and, you know, given the emphasis that preaching should be done anywhere irrespective of time and circumstance, and, you know, just take the advantage of the moment. But I would like to share my understanding on this question that Mataji has raised, that people who commit suicide because of chemical imbalance and because of their depression and, you know, the terrible circumstance that they're experiencing at that time. The main thing is that they should, you know, just like a disease in cancer, we go and seek medical help, we go to the doctor when we have aches and pains. But mental disease is so bad that it cannot be tolerated. And because of the social outcast and the stigma, people do not seek help. So in mental disease or in any, you know, circumstance like that, it is, I feel that it is for the close friends and relatives to identify those problems and make or let that person seek help. And that's why there is a lot of emphasis nowadays on prevention and the suicide hotline. For that reason, you know, that they have identified that way. It's to prevent rather than, you know, for the last end of the end stage and commit suicide. And to do preaching in the young kids, I think that would be a nice, in the colleges would be, you know, rather prevention and then identifying. And also letting people know and, you know, everybody know that this is a disease rather than something that, you know, that should be shunned away. That's my understanding, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
That's
Hare
all.
Krishna,
thank
Mataji.
You. Thank you for explaining. Thank you so much. So, any further discussions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Pranam.
You will have your darshan in Rath Yatra in New York?
Yeah, I'm definitely coming there. Please.
Okay, where should we...
Not my darshan, I would like to have your darshan, so please come. Okay.
How small I am, I don't know. The reason I'm asking, where should, if I come just in time for Rath Yatra, where should the parking be, or where is the location where the festival is?
The festival ends is at Washington Square Park. So it is from 45th Street, it starts, 45th and this 5th Avenue, So you go there at 45th Street, and then are you park your car ahead of the time? There is enough parking if you go earlier. Even you don't have to put any money on Saturday and Sunday. It is free as far as I know. Mother Malti always finds if you go around that park, you will find some car parking places. Then you take a taxi or there is a bus, there is a train. You could come up to 45th Street and 5th Avenue. And then you could walk with them. Then you have your car at the site. Or you could park. It may cost quite a bit in that area, Manhattan or that area. Maybe $40-$50 could be just for the parking.
Parade starts around noon.
Pardon, bro? What did you say?
What time the parade starts?
Parade starts exactly sharp at 12. So you come, if you come 1 hour ahead and park and then come back to the that place, 45th Street, then you join the parade. And
if I can make it, I will get it.
Okay.
Regarding Prabhu, this amazing discussion, because every time you come, the personal problem situations you allow us to address. So it's very wonderful. I get the inspiration from Srimad Bhagavatam. As far as this physical pain is concerned, they are like painkillers, and sometimes the painkillers take the life, so that's a different situation. As far as mental agony is concerned, what happens? A person feels so much isolated, so much just completely self within himself that he cannot share, he cannot expand to anyone who can identify with his pain. And that's why the association of devotees in confidence, that is one thing can definitely protect. Only a devotee, no other person, however close the sister might be, a wife might be, or husband might be, or brother might be, The on the bodily platform, the mental agony cannot be resolved. But only a devotee can pull the person on the soul platform. So mentally, it's still in between the body, the gross body, the subtle body, and the soul. So one who can raise one on the spiritual platform, and a person can, because just imagine how much Krishna blesses all of us to make us forgetful of the unlimited traumas of unlimited lifetimes. We have to just deal with this lifetime, and if we can find some devotee in whom we can just spill our heart out, then the person expands. Okay, yes, there is a purpose to live. Somebody can give me hope. So the only through the intimate or confidential association with some devotee, one can find the hope, even in the worst possible, most abominable, or most whatever the words may be. That is the prayer Prahlad Maharaj. You quoted that Yashyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana, correct? So okay. I was studying that fifth canto. So in that section, like 5 till 18, that is the 12th shloka. But the shloka sequence, the Prahlad Maharaj sings from 8 to 14, all the 7 shlokas, they are tremendous. And the second shloka in which Prahlad emphasizes, he's praying to the Lord, please give me the association of those who are dear to you. And that way, if we can become confidential to someone in that position, that can rescue them, definitely. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Very nicely said. Thank you so much, Prabhu. So, Hare Krishna, so should we end our class now?
Yes,
thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.